From shelves of my daily fears explode. I try to trace them to my youth. And then you had to bring up reincarnation over a couple of beers the other night. And now I'm serving time for mistakes made by another in another lifetime. How long till my soul gets it right? Did any human being ever reach that kind of light? I call on the resting soul of Galileo. I never could explain. Some other fool across the ocean years ago must have crashed his little airplane. How long till my soul gets it right? Can any human being ever reach that kind of light? I call on the resting soul of Galileo.
So sleep. Silent angel, go to sleep. Sometimes all I need is the air that I breathe and to love you. All I need is the air that I breathe is to love you. All I need is the air that I breathe.
That's the poster children here on the Viva Lamont radio program with He's My Star. And I'm going to admit to you, a couple years ago, I had the poster children do a little call into my show, and I really geeked out. And the reason was because that is one of my all-time favorite songs. All-time favorite songs. I got to thank my friend Maria, who actually introduced it to me at one point in my life. And it's stuck there. It's stuck. And it's in the, I'd say, top 5, top 10, top 40. I don't know, because there's a lot of songs in there. But that's one of them. That is one of them. Before the poster children, how about Steve Wynn? Steve Wynn of what? The Dream Syndicate? Of the Baseball Project? Of Steve Wynn? Doing the Hollies, The Air That I Breathe. I did that because Terry Sylvester, the guitarist and singer of the Hollies, was born now yesterday. Like, my whole birthing thing, my whole birthday thing did not stop, apparently. Celebrating 73 years, January 8th. Played some Indigo Girls because on January 8th, supposedly, Galileo died at the age of 77, so I played the Indigo Girls with Galileo as a guilty pleasure from the Rites of Passage album. Sorry, Passage. I don't even know what I'm saying. Passage album. Yeah, it's late. It's late. The monster's just saying it's late. Otis Redding starting off the entire set. Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, a song released 1968. I believe it was actually released posthumously, sadly enough. Otis was a victim of a fatal airplane accident in a giant lake in the city of Madison, Wisconsin. Don't ask me to tell you the name of the lake, because there's two of them and they sound really similar, and I don't know which one's like A and B. And I'm not going to slaughter either name to make you happy. We've got about 7 minutes left in this program, which means I've got about, well, outside of 7 minutes, I've got about maybe two more songs to play. Before we get to those songs, I want to remind you that I want to ask you, how can you grow vibrant communities? Think about it. How can you do it? If you said trees, you're right. Yeah, tree-lined walkways and parks in every neighborhood encourage people to be healthy and active. Trees lift home values. They also decrease energy costs. Trees support stable jobs and boost business at local stores, believe it or not. This message is from the Sustainable Urban Forest Coalition, the U.S. Forest Service, and WRCT. Yeah, that's us, WRCT, and me, the Mockster. Hey, I appreciate you listening. It's a show called Viva La Mock, and it comes to each and every Friday night. We started at 9 p.m., take it to 1 a.m. Again, we've got now 6 minutes left, so I should get into that song. I'm going to talk over this a little bit, because I got to tell you why I'm playing this. I'm going to tell you. So I did a mock of Argyle. If you are unfamiliar with your Scottish heritage, because maybe you're not Scot, the Duke of Argyle. I don't think he's a good guy. I don't know. He seems like a kind of a douchebag. But anyway, the Duke of Argyle. I've been to his castle. I've been there. And he's actually the chief of the Clan Campbell. All right, follow me? Duke of Argyle is the chief of the Clan Campbell. And the word glen over in Scotland is a valley. Yeah, typically a long, bounded, gently sloped, with concave sides valley. So that's a glen over in Scotland. Clan Campbell. It's just Duke of Argyle, so why am I not playing Glen Campbell? Right, I know. Why was that not in the mock? I don't know. I got to talk to my attorney. I don't know why that wasn't, but I got to see Glen Campbell. I'm just going to let you know. I got to see him on his final tour. He came through Pittsburgh, played down in the downtown area. I don't know, one of those theaters. Amazing show, and I'm so glad I got to do that. The only regret I have, I didn't buy a T-shirt. I know. Is that weird? Some other woman's crying to her anyway. Mother, 'cause she turned and I was the late, gone. Great Glen Campbell with a minute left of his song. gentle on my mind. Thanks for listening. It's the Viva Lamont Radio Show. I love you guys. Let me back with a request, WRCTRequest@gmail.com, and we'll do it all again next week.
But not to where I cannot see you, walking on the back roads by the rivers flowing gentle on my mind. I dip my cup of soup back from a gurgling, crackling cauldron in some train yard. My beard a roughening coal pile and a dirty hat pulled low across my face. Through cupped hands round the tin can, I pretend to hold you to my breast and find that you're awaiting from the back roads by the rivers of my memories, ever smiling, ever gentle on my mind.
Saul, Commissioner of Social Security. Beware of telephone scammers pretending to be government employees. Real Social Security employees will never threaten you. Callers threatening you with arrest or other legal action and demanding money are not from us. If you receive a call like this, hang up, do not provide them with any form of payment or information. Report the call at oig.ssa.gov.
It's Amanda Richard here from WRCT's eclectic folk radio show, Whiskey Before Breakfast, heard every Wednesday at 11 a.m. right here on WRCT Pittsburgh. Every so often, a musician who's not in the areas of music that I usually cover in Whiskey Before Breakfast comes to me for an interview. And you're about to hear an interview with a young flautist, flute player, Alex Hamburger. She's from the jazz side of the family, and she'll be stopping in Pittsburgh on a CD release tour on November 11th of 2021 at First Unitarian as part of the UU Songspace concert series, Thursday, November 11th, 7:30 p.m. at First Unitarian, 605 Morwood Avenue. More information at uusongspace.com. If you're hearing this interview before November 11th of 2021, we of course hope that it'll encourage you to consider attending the concert. If you're hearing this interview after November 11th, we hope it encourages you to look for live music wherever you are and to attend concerts and to support the local music community and the national music community. All right, enough editorializing from me. We're going to start off by hearing Alex Hamburger on the flute and José Luis Martins on the piano doing a really fun cover of Joe Henderson's Serenity right here on WRCT. What you just heard from 2019 was Alex Hamburger on the flute and José Luis Martins on the piano doing Joe Henderson's Serenity. And Alex Hamburger's on the phone with me. Hello there.
Hey, how's it going?
So what's a young whippersnapper like you doing with a remake of Joe Henderson's Serenity?
You know, Joe Henderson has always been one of my favorite saxophone players someone who, you know, I had like a copy, a CD of Inner Urge in my mom's car growing up. And yeah.
You definitely have changed it though.
Yeah. With that little duo EP, it was kind of a spur of the moment thing. And we really wanted to experiment with, especially with Serenity. That was kind of a last take. Let's see how far we can take it. Let's see how much we can just like trust each other in the moment and see what happens and create something new from it.
Well, what's cool about that is to hear the, yeah, it's got the melody, it's got the head in it from Henderson's playing, but then it does sort of have a lot more space in it than sort of the bop groove that he had.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was kind of, those two things kind of like went hand in hand, kind of allowing for that space and that like push and pull, listen to each other and improvise kind of in a more open way than I guess traditionally.
Alex Hamburger plays the flute and sings, and she will be coming to Pittsburgh on Thursday, November 11th, in a concert at Song Space at First Unitarian, and will be indoors in the chapel at 605 Moorwood Avenue, 7:30 p.m. on Thursday the 11th. We're really lucky to have you and your quartet stop by.
Yeah, we're really excited to come to Pittsburgh. It's been a while since I've been there, but it's a great city, and really excited to be able to share my CD release tour in Pittsburgh.
Alex Hamburger is chatting with us here on WRCT, and your new record is called And She Spoke. It's very much a project with an overriding thought, isn't it?
So And She Spoke is a collection of music that I've written based off of poetry by women poets, and music I've kind of arranged or we've kind of reimagined by women composers.
Now, how did you get started in jazz flute? I mean, there are not that many jazz flautists. I mean, when I think of a jazz flutist, I think of Herbie Mann, or I think of a whole bunch of saxophonists who played the flute for a different tone, a different color.
That's actually a funny story. So my dad is a professional drummer in the D.C. area. And when I was born and those few years after, he was playing a lot with a flute player named Al Williams, who was actually from Philadelphia but had moved to the D.C. area. And Al was in Mongo Santa Maria's band and Stanley Clark's band. And so my dad was in Al's band, and Al was actually my godfather. And so since he was playing a lot with Al during the time when I was young, some of my earliest memories are of him. And he was a saxophone player, but he really studied classical flute and really loved the flute. And I was just like 4 or 5 years old, and I told my parents, I want to play the flute. And yeah, that was that.
So did you start off with Telemann and Mozart and all the classical repertoire?
Oh, absolutely. I had a couple of really great classical teachers. I was in orchestras, and I did the whole classical thing. And at the same time was, you know, even from a young age, was learning standards and sneaking my way into dance sessions with my dad starting at 13. And in high school, I was still studying classically, but I was also in a jazz academy with a traveling band here and studying with saxophone players. And I just, you know, I just realized that improvised music and, you know, this tradition of music was really what I wanted to do, and that it didn't matter if I was a flute player. I was going to do it anyways.
When I think of the flute in jazz, I think of a lot of the sort of the overblowing technique and the singing while blowing into the flute of, you know, people like Roshan Rollin Kirk. But you really retain that pure tone from your classical training.
I try.
What's it like working in a quartet? And I think you managed to recruit one of your professors to join your quartet.
So on the record is Doug Weiss, the great bass player who's, you know, been the bassist and musical director with Al Foster and played with Brian Blade and played with Brad Meldow and, you know, could go on forever. Doug and I actually he was my professor at SUNY Purchase, but we, like, quickly became pretty good friends. And I had gotten to play some gigs with him, and he had actually hired me for a gig or two. And when I had the idea to do this album, I was actually living in Switzerland along with Chase, the drummer, and José Luis, and we were just moving back to New York and ended up going back to record the album. And I had just thought of Doug as, you know, as someone who could really bring it for this record, especially since the record was made all in one day. We all flew to Europe. We played two nights at the Bird's Eye with one rehearsal, and then we had one day in the studio to make the whole record. And, you know, at that time I had thought that Doug was someone who could really bring, you know, an interesting perspective, both musically and personally. And it was a wild ride.
I love that story because, I mean, I've been in bands where, you know, you go into the studio and you spend 3 days working on one song. And I've been in bands that rehearse and then go into the studio and just play it all in a weekend. And I sure prefer that.
Yeah. It was what was great is that by the time we got into the studio, we had played these four sets already. So we were kind of like already hitting the ground running, even if we had that little amount of time.
We're chatting with Alex Hamburger, whose new record, And She Spoke, has just come out here in November of 2021. And let's let the people hear something from that record. Why don't you tell us about your version of a poem that your grandmother wrote?
Definitely. Actually, the starting point for this whole project was my grandmother, Ana Maria Codes, who was an activist and an educator and both a writer of poetry and a published writer of poetry and short stories in Paraguay, South America. And this, she was especially there and being an educator and an activist and writer amongst the Stroessner dictatorship that went until the 1980s. Her writing and her art and her activism and her educating children, it was really all one. And it was really about, like, letting the people's voice be heard. So this is a poem from her book that I love called La Desperación es la Pasión Verdaderamente Humana. And as the starting point for this project, this is one of my favorite songs on the record.
Thank you. perderse a contemplar el sol.
We are chatting with Alex Hamburger, who's a flautist. Who you live now in New York?
I'm actually living in Maryland, right in the D.C. area
okay,
now.
Okay, so you're back in the D.C. area, and her new record is called And She Spoke. And I'm not even going to attempt the Spanish name of what you just heard. I think it translates to something as despair is the truly human passion.
Yeah, that's actually a great translation. I'm going to use that.
This record with you and Jose Luis Martins on the piano and Doug Weiss on the bass and Chase Kusel on the drums, it's really interesting. And it's a project, you said it started with this poem from your grandmother. And what your goal is?
It developed into this album of music, original compositions based off of poetry by female poets, and then arrangements of songs by female composers that I love.
What made you feel this was an important time to make a record like this?
So this record actually was recorded in November 2019, but my grandmother, my mother, you know, I come from a line of artists and feminists who, especially, you know, my grandmother, her art and her activism were as one, and I led a feminist club in high school, and I, you know, I used to skip school and go to protests downtown in D.C. And these women's voices are so often not heard at the importance that they are to both the music and just to society, and especially the voices of Black and brown women that have been silenced for so long. And, you know, not everybody knows about Monk, but not everybody knows about Mary Lou Williams, who was one of his teachers, you know. And so I just thought that this was an opportunity for me to really highlight those women that are the reason that someone like me can be doing what I'm doing today.
The other thing that your record shows is how poetry and jazz are both, that can intertwine into a performance.
You know, for me, I don't know. I've always loved poetry. My grandmother was a poet. My mom was an actress and a dancer. And so poetry was always kind of around from a young age. And it was a way that I felt, it's just an art form that I felt connected to. And I just find that, like, you know, what are lyrics? Lyrics are just a different setting of a poem. So I think they really go hand in hand for me.
I also get a sense that there's a little bit of the beat consciousness, you know, going back to the 1950s and 60s in the way that you do some of the phrasing over the music.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I don't know if that was so conscious or if that is just a result of taking material that was either created or inspired by that time and putting it together, you know.
Well, I think it's a very affecting record, Alex Hamburger's And She Spoke. And you'll be able to see her in Pittsburgh on Thursday, November 11th, over at the First Unitarian Church at 605 Morwood Avenue, 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, November 11th. Are you bringing the full quartet with you?
Yeah, so it'll be Chase Kiesel and Jose Luis Martins. And on bass now in my band, because Doug Weiss is pretty busy and also mostly living in Europe these days, but I have a great young bass player, Tyrone Allen, who is from the D.C. area but lives in New York and plays with everyone from Rodney Green to Jasmia Horn. And so it'll be a special show.
What's the most fun you've had at a show recently?
You know, this past Saturday, we did a night of Brazilian music, Jose Luis and I and some friends here in the D.C. area at Tacoma Station. And I have to tell you, that was Brazilian music is just so fun. It was so fun.
It really is. There's a sort of a freedom and a improvisation that happens in Brazilian music that does not happen most other places in the world.
There's so many different rhythms and styles, and the show ended up being kind of like a trip around Brazil through the music, and that was really fun.
I hear, in addition to Brazilian and South American music, I swear, girl, I hear some 12-tone contemporary classical music and contemporary jazz in what you're doing.
I haven't, to be quite honest, like, deeply studied that much of contemporary classical music, but I do love it. I mean, and I was lucky, actually, to study with Guillermo Klein when I was living in Switzerland, and then work with him a little bit on this music, and he really teaches a lot of Messiaen and his different approaches to harmony. So, yeah, I guess that makes sense. There's definitely some inspiration from what I got to learn from him and him helping me with the music that is inspired by Schoenberg and Messiaen. So, yeah.
Alex Hamburger and her new record, And She Spoke, in which she is paying homage to the women whose voices have come before. And I sense you want to extend the tradition with your own voice as well.
We are the next generation of women, and we have a duty to the women before us and the women after us to use our voices.
What did you notice about the difference between the jazz scene in Switzerland and other parts of Europe compared to New York and Washington, D.C. and other parts of America?
You know, it's just very different. I think that the context of learning and playing jazz, which is Black American music, is very different in Europe. But there's also a lot of interesting things happening and coming from the different cultures there and how they mix with jazz and how they approach improvisational music. It's definitely a different context for learning and playing.
We've got time to squeeze in one more track from your new record, And She Spoke, and we both were talking about Burning the Letters, which is your musical interpretation of a poem by
Sylvia Plath. Yeah, Burning the Letters. You know, I love Sylvia Plath, and I just couldn't figure out how to stick her poem as lyrics, so I just wrote this song that I felt was an instrumental representation of the poem.
Thank you so much, Alex.
Thank you.
I think it's really cool. I think it's a really cool record. All right, here comes Alex Hamburger and her quartet doing Alex's interpretation of the Sylvia Plath poem, Burning the Letters, right here on WRCT. What you just heard was Alex Hamburger and her quartet doing Burning the Letters, a tune she wrote in response to Sylvia Plath's poem of the same name, Burning the Letters. And Alex will be in Pittsburgh on Thursday, November 11th at Songspace at First Unitarian, 7:30 p.m. Thursday, November 11th at First Unitarian Church of Pittsburgh, 605 Morwood Avenue, Pittsburgh. Thanks again to Alex for spending so much time with us. And thank you for listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. My name is Steve, your host for the Deep Blues Hour, bringing you the 60 minutes of classic and traditional blues. And in this hour, let's see, who do we have lined up? We've got some Sonny Boy Williamson and his classic track, Nine Below Zero. Big Joe Williams on his nine-string guitar out of St. Louis. Plus Tampa Red, who migrated from the South up to Chicago and was the conduit for so many blues musicians to find their way into the Chicago scene. You can hear from him as well. It's all coming up here on this hour of the Deep Blues Hour. Let's start off with Willie Kent. This is from the Earwig Records 20th Anniversary Collection that came out in 1999. This is I Wanna Get Married. Willie Kent on the Deep Blues Hour.
WRCWK. When you're in need of me, love. Wanna get married, baby? I can't find no one to walk with me. I wanna get married. Can't find no one to walk down with me. I can't find no one. No one wanna hear my plea.
Rita's Italian Ice joins you in supporting WRCT. Rita's offers a variety of frozen treats, including its famous Italian Ice, made fresh daily with real fruit, available in over 80 flavors. Rita's has several locations throughout the city of Pittsburgh, including a stand at 3712 Fifth Avenue near the University of Pittsburgh campus. For more information, visit their website at www.ritasice.com. If you are interested in underwriting WRCT, you can email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities.
Why don't we do it in row? 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 No one will be watching us. Thank you.
tell you, like, I'll do it like this. You have a private number. The operator won't give it out. All my friends tell me they don't know your whereabouts. Each time I dial your number, my head starts to spin. But the operator tells me to hang up and try it again. And the operator won't give it out. I'm sick and tired of your friends telling me they don't know your whereabouts. He has what it takes to give me peace of mind. I need him for myself. Got to have him all the time. I'm sick of that private number. Sick of that private number. I gotta have him all the time. know where he had gone. Baby, I'll go knock on that door for sure. I said, you have a private number. Each time I dial, my head begins to spin. But every time the operator tells me, young lady, you got to hang up and try again.
You've tuned in to Pandemonium, a public affairs anthology from WRCT Pittsburgh. The opinions expressed on this show are those of the participants and not necessarily those of WRCT or Carnegie Mellon University. Email comments or questions to WRCT Public Affairs, pa@wrct.org. And now, Pandemonium.
Hi, I'm Richard Gordon from WRCT, and I'm joined here on a park bench on a beautiful summer day by Carnegie Mellon University professor Brian Junker. Brian, what department are you in?
Hi, Richard. It's good to be here. I'm in the Department of Statistics and Data Science.
Okay. I'm so old that when I went to college, there was no computer science major. There was applied math. How long has statistics always had its own departments?
No, statistics used to be a part of the math department, and that's generally historically how statistics departments get started. Eventually, the mathematicians and the statisticians realize they can't talk to each other very well, and so statistics breaks off and forms its own department. That happened in the late 60s or the 70s at Carnegie Mellon.
Okay, well, we're not here to talk about office politics. We're here to talk about lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Oh man, you really like to offend statisticians when you interview them, don't you?
Well, you know, ever since I was a kid, you know, like reading Mad Magazine and stuff, I kind of remember there was one joke book about chocolate. And one of the points was how much protein was in chocolate. And here was the stat about this enormous amount of protein. But then there was an asterisk noting the gargantuan amount of chocolate you'd have to eat. I think that's everybody's sort of the lay person's appreciation of statistics. It's like people tell their own stories, making things up with the numbers.
Right, absolutely true. And in fact, for the last, 30, 40 years, there's been a strong movement toward increasing numeracy for the lay person, just like literacy was a big issue that led to the formation of public schools and things like that. But I will say that, you know, once you become a little bit numerate, that is, once you sort of become a little bit less afraid of the numbers and can interpret them, what you realize is that all those lies and damn lies are equally tellable with numbers as with language. Open the newspaper. Look at what's in the newspaper that's written in English. Listen to your favorite news channel that you hate. And listen to what they have to say. With no numbers at all, they're equally capable of lying. So it's just learning another language, like learning French or German or Chinese.
People can do so many different things with the numbers. Like one of the quotes you had up on your website from C.H. Combs was, we buy information with assumptions. And those assumptions show up in the numbers that we hear in the news.
You know, it's funny you bring that up. I actually specifically went and refound that quote myself because I wanted to make sure to bring it up during our talk today. It's one of my favorite aphorisms.